Broad Street Bully Podcast, talking Flyers hockey.
Hello, everybody. It's episode 126 of the Broad Street Bully Podcast. That's for those of you keeping track at home.
Wait, I wasn't
Sean
ready.
Couturier. Plus,
yeah, we start over.
I want Sean Couturier.
Shakur. Tupac Shakur.
Shaka Khan.
Ah, yes. It's one Sean Couturier plus Simone Gagné. 126, guys. How's it going? This is Jeff, and I'm stealing the intro from Drew today. Because
Drew is very angry.
No, I'm fine. You guys just have fun. Go ahead. Go nuts. Can't bring me down today.
Go nuts for donuts.
Not doing it.
Love
no.
Donuts.
It's one Sean Couturier plus Michael Raffel, who rules, by the way. Jeff can go kick rocks. Hope your week's been good. My weekend was great. Got to see a couple free Flyers games in the past week. And the Flyers are on a tear, continuing with tonight. We're doing this podcast early, so this podcast will be finished before the conclusion of the Flyers-Red Wings game on this Tuesday night. But I hope you had a wonderful rest of your week. It's Thursday already for you. And we got a packed show for you here tonight. We got a bunch of Flyers games to talk about. And Doyle is back. So Jeff is here, as you heard him rudely interrupt me. Actually, I think Doyle interrupted me first.
Yeah,
so.
I did.
Yeah, so guys didn't show up for a week. It's with Jackass.
It's like Radko Gudas.
I had to let everybody know I was here.
He's making his presence known.
Yeah, so the fans want to know, where are you using the heroin stations in Seattle to shoot up your insulin?
I was.
Okay. That's what we told everybody.
We thought you were going to get arrested.
Yeah, like, no, listen, I'm just... Because there's a heroin epidemic.
Cops are going to find there, all your
you know?
Needles.
There's a heroin epidemic throughout this country.
I know, but in Seattle, you know, there's hipsters out there, you know. They're doing the old stuff.
Wearing flannel.
Used to be cool. Yeah. So, all the
haircuts.
All the grunge.
Coffee.
So, Doyle's back after... So, you went to Seattle. Did you have a good, wonderful time out there?
I did.
So, did you scout the new hockey team that might be coming there? We were hoping you can do a little inside reporting.
No.
Check KeyBank Arena. Or Key
I drove
Arena.
By the... was it Citi Field or whatever? Whatever the or CenturyLink and
Century, where the Seahawks play,
yeah,
and the Sounders
and whatever the baseball team Mariners play.
Yeah, the Mariners. Yeah,
the Mariners Stadium's huge.
Yeah, what's Seattle? Is
well, it has to fill there? Has to fill all that disappointment. So,
yeah,
Mariners stink.
That sounds pretty good. I got that, Jeff.
Yeah, they were good at one point.
They were.
I understood that part.
Just
back
sure.
to the Randy Johnson days. That team was stacked.
Randy
I can't
Johnson,
believe they never won a title.
A-Rod Griffey.
The big unit, man.
It was the Yankees just trouncing him.
Aaron Boone while he was on steroids.
Those are the days of the steroids.
Glory day.
So I think we just fulfilled our baseball quota for the entire year. Great.
For
awesome.
The century.
Pitchers and catchers report in about a month. Sounds great. A few weeks. But yeah, this has been it's been wonderful to have you guys back because it's just been the Flyers have been playing great lately. The Sixers took home the wins this weekend, and the Eagles, like I said last week, we had our Canadian friend Mike Bond cheering on for us, even though he had no idea what was going on. The Eagles are going to the gosh darn Super Bowl.
Does Mike Bond follow football at all?
No, he does not, but okay. He was asking us questions last week. He's like, oh, so is Jaworski playing? Like, being a real jerk, but it was fun. No, thank him again for coming on last week. So if you didn't have it already, please make sure you check out Scuttlepuck, which is his great hockey podcast, along with his buddies on there. And they do a lot of fun stuff, so do that. So without further ado, I will come back to the Eagles stuff later, but oh my God. Let's start off last week. The Flyers started off our week, when our week starts on a Thursday, with a really awesome night. They had the Eric Lindros number retirement ceremony.
They sure know how to throw a party.
Yes, that was awesome. They raised the number to the rafters in a pregame ceremony. That was very nice. I think the tableau was set with some of his achievements, the trophies he's collected over his years. And they had a big orange 88 in the center. And, of course, they brought out Renberg and Leclerc.
Leclerc and his brother.
Yeah, that was pretty great.
Brett.
The only guy
you may remember from Islanders fame.
Yeah, the guy with less brain cells than Eric Lindros and his family.
More concussions.
Yeah.
For as many concussions as he took, he's looking pretty good right now.
Hey, man, he's just you know, playing like pickup hockey and drinking beers. We all remember this before.
They said when...
Well, no, because some of those guys with CTE, they're just like, you know, oh, you're gonna put your pants on, buddy?
And he did leave like pretty early, though, I think before it could have got really worse.
They said when he came back during the alumni game when they had the Winter Classic here against the Rangers, like everybody said that he looked, even though Mark Recchi just came off a season of playing hockey, they said that Lindros looked like the one that could still play.
Yeah, I remember that, hearing that too. And it makes sense, though. You end it kind of early. Still pretty. Him and Gagne both ending their careers like kind of prematurely after injuries.
Yeah, and now they actually police headshots, so he'd have, if he came back and played, he wouldn't have to worry about.
Oh my God, he would be
laid out by Scott Stevens.
He'd be unstoppable in today's NHL.
If he was less than, you know, almost 40.
Yeah, you know.
Or 40.
Well, I mean, yeah, if he was like drafted like. Yeah.
In 99.
Yeah, or like even Drew's year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 2006. Right. That'd be great. So the Flyers went up, winning that game 3-2 in overtime after going down 2-0. So at the game, Jeff and I went.
I actually got to watch that one.
Oh, you did while you were in Seattle. Was that nationally televised, or did you watch on your app or something like that?
I went to a bar called Buckley's. They actually, it's a bar out there that plays like all the Eagles games. So they had like, I guess, whatever hockey package. And I walked in. I was like, "Can you put the Flyers game on?" And he's like trying to find it. He's like, "Dude, you sure they're playing, man?" I was like, "They're playing Toronto." And then he finally found it after he passed it like three times.
Oh, idiot. My God. Stupid Seattle people. I have no fans of Seattle.
The game itself, I don't know where you came in and started watching, but the first two periods were kind of bad.
I saw the two goals that.
So that was the beginning of the third. Yeah.
I mean, the Flyers player, I don't think the Flyers played that poorly. I just think
they had a rough first two
couple
periods.
Breakdowns put up those goals.
Yeah, they couldn't get much started, and then the saves just weren't there when they needed them. But then the third period started, and it was a completely different team out of the gate.
Well,
like,
I saw
the Flyers
when,
smothered them in the first 5 minutes to score two.
Yeah, I saw when they got scored against in like 28 seconds.
Yeah, it wasn't ideal.
Well, the thing what happened was the first period was scoreless, kind of back and forth, and then the Leafs scored twice in the second period, and of course the Flyers came out. And then had those two goals in the third, and then played the rest of the game. Almost had chances to end it in the
third. Maple Leafs also had chances to end it, too. Neuwirth made a bunch of huge saves.
Yes.
So he's looking pretty good for playing one game in the last 7 years or whatever it is.
And then Couturier and Konechny connected on a Couturier goal with a Neuwirth assist with 18 seconds into overtime.
How about Konechny finally getting overtime?
And
how it looks.
I was in the second row right
in
that section.
Scoring.
Yeah.
I was in the second row right in that section by the face-off dots where last year of Jeff and Drew fame, we went to that Blue Jackets game and yelled at Seth Jones, and I had a lot of fun that night.
Rubbed your belly on that lady's head in front of you.
No, I didn't. Her head rubbed on my stomach. It's assault.
Vikings fans would not be pleased with you.
Oh, well, we can get to those little cherubs later. but I will say the game was awesome sitting down there, and the ceremony was great, and there was a Toronto fan behind me. I've not told Jeff this on purpose.
On
the show. So it was about two rows behind me, and Mike Bond, I hope you're not listening, but please excuse what I'm about to say.
He's a hoser.
No, he was not a hoser.
Oh,
he was just a middle-aged guy, and every time the Leafs was like, "Oh, yeah, go Leafs," and he's like, and they all get the puck and skate in the zone. He would go like, oh yeah, there it is. And he'd get poke-checked, and I would be like, no, it's not. And everyone just started making fun of him in the most, like, sophomoric, like, childish way. Like, oh yeah. We're like, oh no. We just kept repeating after him. And at one point, Neuwirth robbed a guy, I forget who. And he goes like, "Oh, that was it." I was like, "That's our backup, you asshole." Just like, it was just so much more fun. And then I looked back, and like he was just going back and forth with us. And I looked back, and he had his wife and kids with him. But his kids were like, you know, in college, so it was fine.
Oh yeah, we didn't have anybody like that.
And then he kept saying like, "We're gonna get this one." And then of course, the one guy next to me just started yelling curse words at him. I'm like, "Okay, now we've crossed the line."
Yeah,
he was drinking whiskey. He was drinking whiskey though, so I couldn't really blame him. I mean, the guy had it coming, I guess, right?
Yeah, we didn't have anybody. I would say that me and my dad were those people in our section.
Yeah. And then, of course, one guy, sorry again, Mike Bond. One guy got like.
Is this an ageist comment or.
No, it's a Canadian
That's
comment.
That's a Canadian
comment. One of the guys in the Maple Leafs got decked after the whistle. He was like, "Oh, what the heck's going to happen with that?" And I was like, "Your free healthcare will pay for it." Because, you know, from Toronto. And everyone's like, "Yeah!" It's like a Philly, just like, you know, blue collar Philly. He's like, "Yeah!" You know, like they're sitting down the lower
Canadian
level.
Canadian
so.
Sport uses American money.
Yeah, exactly. Even though I'm like, more than people, half the people on our team are Canadians. But
all
funny,
bow
you know?
To the almighty. Yeah, that's why, like, they play the national anthem. There's like two Americans.
Yeah. And then I told him.
Brian Elliott's like, "Nice." And everyone else is just like, "Let's just get through this."
Then he kept standing up. I was like, "Sit down. You had the easiest beach on D-Day. How many of your men died? Be quiet. You guys tiptoed up the Normandy." And that's when it ended. And then at the end of the game, when I stood on top of the seats and flexed at him. And I gave him a high five, and the guy was cool about it. We were messing around the whole game. It was fun, but I just thought you would have appreciated it. I wasn't even like in full. I wasn't even full tilt. I was just, you know, having fun. Because the Lindros ceremony got really pumped up. They did a really good job with it of showing.
It's like that time that we went to the Rangers game with JR.
Oh, yeah, our friend JR.
We sat next to like a 45-year-old Rangers fan who was just like, yeah, you know, like I live down here now, whatever. And like we're talking about the Flyers, and I'm like, oh my God, I remember this. And he's like, remember that? And then like the Flyers score, and JR just comes over the top, and he's just like, F you. You're a piece of crap. And I'm just like, I don't, just ignore him.
Yeah,
like, do you have to yell at the 45-year-old man who's just talking hockey?
We drove in with you. Like, we have to be associated with you.
He was so nice. JR is just yelling at him.
Yeah, we were like 18, too. We were like, no reason.
Yeah, not drunk. Not drunk either.
No, yeah.
JR.
Just, you know, high on skull. Keep that skull, baby. It was the best. And so moving on from that game.
I got a question.
About the ceremony of the game?
Kind of related to that. So now that Eric Lindros' number has been retired, who do you think gets their number retired next?
There's not going to be one for a while.
If anybody, it depends on how it ends, but I think Claude Giroux would be the next in the
Probably Drux, yeah.
He would have to be.
Yeah, I think so.
Because the thing is, like...
Nobody else played here long enough or established themselves.
Yeah,
enough.
I mean, if they won a cup in 2010 or even 2004, Gagne would be possibly a guy to look at because he played most of his career here and came back.
Yeah.
And he is on the top of, like, the top 10 of Flyers all-time points, I think, or scoring or something like that, or goals. But
he's up there.
Yeah, he's definitely in the top 15. I think he may be in the top 10.
Gagne would probably be the shoe-in. I want to say Briere probably wasn't here long enough.
I think Gagne will be in the Flyers Hall of Fame. I don't think he'll be I think Gagne is next to be in the Flyers Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I can see that. No, that. That's
I don't
reasonable.
See anybody else because they already have Desjardins. They already put Leclerc. They already put Lindros.
I could see them putting...
I think they'll put more people in the Hall of Fame, but I don't think they'll retire somebody else's number until Giroux.
No, yeah, Giroux would be the one they retire.
I could see them putting Briere in the Flyers Hall of Fame.
Maybe, what are your thoughts
for
on...
the playoff maybe. Theatrics.
What are your thoughts on Marcus Recchi?
I don't think they will, only because his times here were... usually abbreviated.
And he also, I don't think he got inducted as a Flyer to the Hockey Hall of Fame.
He mentioned, what, Philly for 1 second?
Yeah, we played his speech, and it was like, I had all these great times, and this person, oh, yeah, no, it was Philly. It was so sorry.
Yeah. Direct quote, actually.
And Simone Gagne is 9th in all-time scoring.
Yeah, see, told
behind
you.
Lindros.
Of course he's behind Lindros. Lindros was a
three ahead of Mark Recchi. So,
yeah.
How about that?
Gagne's
11th for all-time points.
Yeah, okay. That
so
works.
There you go.
So moving on real quick, just to review, the Flyers 3-1 win versus the Devils. I went to that one as well. Pretty awesome to see two games.
So,
and there was a lot of Devils fans, and this guy Appleby came in the net after...
Doyle's theory is alive and well, though. Because when I was watching the game on TV, I saw that who's the Devils' real backup? Kincaid. I saw that he was in net, so I texted Drew, and I was like, Devils are starting their backup. It's going to be a mess. So the Flyers came out, scored 2 goals, and then on the third goal, Kincaid hurt himself, and they were like, Corey Schneider was not in the lineup today. Kincaid is the starter. Appleby was the backup. Appleby came in, no goals rest of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Flyers held on to win 3-1.
But the Flyers held on to win.
And they played a really good tight check third period for the most part.
Do you
want to
know what that guy's save percentage is in the AHL?
What is it?
88.5.
Oh, wow. Well,
they got
1.00 in the NHL.
So the backup was the starter. The emergency call-up was the backup. The Flyers lit up the starter, who was the backup, but then scored no goals against the guy who has an 8.85.
Using the transitive property.
Doyle is
Flyers
corrected.
Can't score on Devils backups. Just doesn't happen.
That's fine.
Theory holds true.
If we ever play them in the playoffs, they won't be...
They'll just roll out their backups.
Oh, no. It's like when we play the Rangers, they run out like Talbot. Like, oh, God damn it. And the Flyers are the 2-1 thrilling Sunday afternoon overtime win versus the Capitals after, waiting for the Eagles all weekend. And I was like, oh, these are the Flyers. I've eaten up like 2.5 hours of my time.
Dude, a lot of that Caps game, too, was the Caps just being in the Flyers' end.
Yeah, I didn't get to see that game. I was on the flight home.
Elliot was back in net for that one. He did a lot of work and a lot of good work too.
He kept the Flyers in the game when it mattered after the Flyers, they got the first goal with Raffle.
Yeah.
And Ovechkin answered.
There were some weird
penalties.
Ended
the second period, but the Flyers held off, and then the third period was scoreless, and Konechny got it 27 seconds into overtime after a really awesome play with Provorov, Couturier, and Konechny.
Yeah, skate right, shoot left.
Yeah, it was Konechny let score. I mean, scored a goal in the Devils game, too. He's coming into his own. So I want to ask you guys for this weekend Flyers hockey, what did we learn? So as of right now, the Flyers are 23-16-8, 54 points in their first wild card spot as of now. After that, those three games right there pretty much put them ahead. And the thing was, the Capitals and the Devils weren't even in the wild card running, so they're over the top of the division.
Yeah.
But we still took points away
got
from the
four
top.
Four points from them.
And as it stands right now, I mean, you don't even know what could happen because with the Flyers 54 points, Devils have 56, and the Capitals have 61. I know it's a long shot, but the fact that the Devil and the Blue Jackets have 55, the Flyers are right in there maybe to pick a Blue Jackets or Devil spot if they keep this play up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Plus they have the most, I think up to this point, they've played the least amount of division games too, so that's always going to factor in.
If they win them, yeah. So
right,
what,
if they win them.
So
yeah.
What did we learn about the team this week after awesome little hot streak here we're still on.
Do you want the hot take or the real take?
I can give you a real take.
Wait, whoa, hold on. Let's not let him forget about it. Go ahead, Jeff. Give me that. This is going to be interesting.
No, Travis Konechny plays much better when his center isn't Valtteri Filppula.
Yeah, that's true.
Because since he's been bumped up to the first line, his point production has increased and his play overall has gotten better. And you're seeing it in important parts of games now. Setting up an overtime goal, scoring an overtime goal. It's all big things.
Yeah, he's definitely playing better. Doyle, I guess, what did you learn?
Do you want the hot take or the real take?
Team can't function without Goulborn.
Just give me a hot take. Just I know you want. I know that's what you want to say anyway. Why they're being realistic or real, just have feelings or...
We got to prep up the hot take alarm.
Oh. Oh yeah, the hot take alarm, of course.
Yeah, man, come on.
I'm sorry. I was so busy pulling up a bunch of other stats and other things I was going to say. I didn't know we were going to do the hot take alarm.
A layperson may know the hot take alarm as an air horn.
No, it's called it the hot take alarm. Doyle hot take.
The Flyers need to fire Dave Hextall for sending Travis Sanheim down and playing Brandon Manning.
Okay, what's your real take?
We're going to follow that up with another air horn because that was the hottest, spiciest Indian food take.
All right, what do you really think?
What I really think.
Gather up the journalism views of the page.
What I really think
is. Barack Obama an alien?
It's nice to see Ivan Provorov's offensive upside come into play finally.
As the first, as the number one D-man on this team, of course it is, Doyle. That's actually a take I'll put my hat behind. Actually, Ivan Provorov this week, since we last spoke, had a goal and an assist over the last few games and has been holding it down and taking a little more chances in his own zone to get it on net and skating up and close and like making moves. And with Ghost on, that could be kind of dangerous, though, with Ghost as his line mate. But, you know, that's how they're going
to
learn.
Yeah, well, I mean, you see Provorov now. He gets to play with a defenseman who can move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it he allows him to activate a little bit more. And he was
Andrew
down
McDonald
low.
Had two assists this week, all right. Yeah. So
and that like Provorov got down low on the third Devils goal that you know he had no business being that close to the front of the net, but he felt comfortable because his backup wasn't Zilchi McGillicuddy back
get
there.
Out. There you go.
Slippies. I'm just so flustered because I hate him.
Use your words.
Who do you hate?
Andy.
You really do still hate him?
Yeah, I don't really care anymore.
After you almost cried on air last year about it?
I never really hated him. I just don't think he should get top line minutes, but I feel like that's a standard.
Well, we did
technically
lose 10
he's
years
not
in
anymore.
A row.
Yeah, now he's not. So like whatever. He still gets too much money to be average. But you know, that's a Holmgren mistake.
Okay.
And what have you learned about mistakes after the Eric Lindros ceremony?
You weren't born.
Time can erase them.
Oh, well, never mind.
God.
Who do you hate? Who do you hate more, Jeff?
Oh,
Andrew
boy.
McDonald, Dale Weiss, or Yuri Laterra?
Or Osama bin Laden. Go.
Well, this
using
is
MLA format, please describe.
Andy McDonald may be the team's worst defenseman, but Dale Weiss is bad at hockey. And Yuri Laterra hasn't been that bad, I don't think, recently. Like, I haven't been angry at him for things. And Dale Weiss hasn't played. So I guess for those two reasons, it has to be Andy McDonald right now. Yeah.
No, you didn't end at the first paragraph. That's coming off your rubric there.
Yeah, I guess it'll have to be McDonald right now. But as soon as Dale Weiss gets back in the lineup, it's him.
Okay.
Yeah.
I learned this week that the Flyers don't always need the top guys to score to win. Guess who led the team in points this week?
Tyler Goldborn.
No. He led the league in just heartfelt throbs of patriotism and love for the Flyers and orange and black.
Radko Gudas.
No, Travis Konecny. Oh. And second,
he's a top line guy now.
I'm saying, but not Voracek, not Drew, not Couturier, not Ghost.
Secondary scoring.
Yeah, we're getting some extra scoring, and it was great to see. And there was
one other
player that had the second most points on the team this week with three. It was
Valtteri Filppula.
So, and he has looked much better now. He's playing on the third line, and his line with Raffle and Voracek, the little European line there, I like it. The European swag line.
He's got more points than when we traded for him last year at that point. Trade deadline.
He just
he only had seven goals.
He does generate some offense in the zone.
Yeah,
I do
his skating is just not where it used to be.
But he makes up for it positioning, I think.
Yeah, he's just much slower.
Wherewithal is a wily veteran. A wily veteran. And, of course, Nolan Patrick, Jordan Wheel, and Simmons on the third line. And, Simmons. I think they mean trade deadline. He might be getting moved.
Yeah, right? Simmons
we'll
down the lineup.
However, the Flyers are in prime playoff spots. It's the kind of guy you want in the playoffs. So who knows what's going to happen. It's looking pretty good from here. So I wanted to bring up something before I even get there, though. Flyers power play 12th in the league with 22.2% and 74.8% penalty kill.
Yikes.
29th in the league. So
yikes.
Right, kind of they're in the top half of the league in the power play, which has improved, I think, this year.
Right, Chuck Knobloch.
And the penalty kill continues to get worse. Whereas
Chris Knobloch,
a month ago,
his name is
we were
Chuck
hovering
was the third
around.
Baseman for the Yankees.
Yes, he was.
Who the hell even brings that up? More baseball talk. We already reached our quota. We don't work overtime here.
Twins. The best part about our baseball talk is it's all 90s baseball talk.
Yeah, that's when we watch baseball.
Doug Glanville. The dog.
Next, we'll be talking about Craig Biggio.
Oh, my God.
Jeff Bagwell.
Yeah.
Mark McGwire.
Those Houston teams, man.
Mark McGwire.
Ever heard of Babe Ruth? Hank Aaron.
Called the Sultan of Swing.
Willie Mays, or I called him Billy Mays. That would work for me.
Billy Mays here. I'm playing baseball.
He was playing something else. In heaven, that is. I want to bring this up.
Rest
because
in peace, OxyClean.
This is just for the Hot Take Express out there. I was doing a little Reddit browsing where I'm looking for something else, and I found this Reddit post from a month ago. And the title of the thread
is Fire Dave Haxtell?
Oh.
Hold on.
What
was happening a month ago?
No, here it is. For all of us who are Eagles and Flyers fans, Haxtell equals Chip Kelly.
Okay.
He writes, short one.
That's true.
Two paragraphs.
College coaches.
Both guys come from college ranks. Both guys, for whatever reason, love playing bizarre players.
That's true.
Weiss and Laterra playing equals we don't need DeSean Jackson or LeSean McCoy. Like we had the last season, it was Vandevelde playing, just like how Chip made sure his Oregon boys were in the lineup. Even more interesting is that both guys may realize the team would be horrible as long as they were around. The game against the Penguins, I knew 100% the Penguins were coming back for the two-goal lead in the third period. I used to feel the same way about Chip Kelly's Eagles. I had no confidence that he could get the players in the right position to win games. There needs to be a midseason fire at this point in order to motivate the players. Anyone who isn't motivated after that needs to be let go or traded. It sickens me to see the team play this poorly.
What?
Was that after the 10 game?
That was a month ago, so this is during, like, I guess, around that spiral.
Yeah,
because
that seems like it's in the spiral.
In that time period, since the 10 game losing streak ended, Flyers are 15-5-1.
Oh,
that
man.
Is good for 31 points.
That's weird.
That's 21 games, 31 points.
He's not responsible for any of those 15 wins, though, so how'd they get him?
They're outscoring teams 67-53 in that span. And they're clicking. All their numbers are pretty much trending upward.
That's so weird because he's such a bad coach. I don't know how the team's doing so well.
I just thought I saw that before we started the show. I'm like, wait a minute, I have to make sure I bookmark.
Yeah, I mean,
this.
Sometimes I stay awake at night and think, like, how does Dave Haxtell still have a job when he's doing so poorly in his wild card team
I
right
think
now?
The one thing you can definitely like give him a hard time about is he definitely makes some questionable lineup choices.
He does sometimes. However, I think some of that's been overblown because I don't think. I think for a while we said they weren't questionable lineup choices. They made a couple. We're like, oh, that was questionable. But everyone has been crying wolf every time Travis Konecny sat on the bench last year. Ghost took a game off.
Well, like, I feel
and
like...
for all, look at TK and Ghost now. They apparently that benching
didn't
hurt
them. The benching didn't have anything to do with their development. It didn't help them at all.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like people have given up on the forwards. They're all like, yeah, who's Oscar Lindblom? We don't... we're over it. Now it's like, oh, my God. Travis Sanheim is not getting any playing time, and Hextall said that he wouldn't call up a prospect to have him sit on the bench, and Travis is never going to get better if he doesn't play, and Brandon Manning stinks! And to that I say, Travis Sanheim got sent down to the AHL. Nanny nanny boo boo, stick your head in doo-doo.
Yeah, because now he's not playing, so it makes sense to send him down because the team's winning right now.
Right, there's no reason to put him in the lineup because when they put him in the lineup against the Devils, what happened? He overcommitted on a play, dropped his stick, and then didn't pick it up fast enough, and the Devils scored. That was Travis Sanheim's Saturday against the Devils.
Yeah, so it's fine. We can let Manning play.
He'll get better. You just have to give him time.
Recalled Mark Alt, get him up here. Sanheim could still play in the AHL.
Well, it's just
bit.
Like the typical like mindset that you have to have instant gratification from every prospect, basically.
Well, I'm glad you said
tell
that.
The Eagles fans that wanted to get rid of Brandon Graham all those years ago.
I'm glad you said
I was
that.
On board that train.
Because
Of course, we all were because he was in a different defense. But saying though, like sometimes they take longer to develop. You don't know what's going to happen.
He's definitely gotten better, but honestly, I'd still rather have Earl Thomas after just giving up Ryan Dawkins.
Oh yeah, of course. But I'm just saying, like right now, though, you see how prospects can still develop, and the Flyers still have plenty of guys that can develop like that. But just
hey,
to rebut this
Couturier.
One guy, Sean Couturier is a great example of that. Calling him Chip Kelly. Laterra and Weiss playing is we don't need Deshaun Jackson, LeSean McCoy. No, it doesn't. Because what? We're not going to start rookies that are unproven?
You can't tell me that Dale Weiss and Jori Laterra are any... there's no parallel
on par with
between
Deshaun
those
Jackson.
Two.
No, but he was just trying to say, like, by not playing... By playing those guys, it's like
that's
not
like compared... But they would be compared... They're not, like, top-flight players, though.
Dale Weiss is like a receiver wearing a boot.
No, but no, what he's saying is the guys that we could have been playing...
Like who?
That's what I'm saying.
Oscar Lindblom.
I'm saying these rookies. That's what they're saying. Like
Radil Fazlieff.
Unproven rookies and these, you know.
Mike Vecchione. All-star center, Mike Vecchione.
And the one guy, only one guy comments with 6 points. That's how you tell it wasn't a big
The pride of Union College
had,
behind Ghost.
This guy had 0 points. I just gave him another downvote. So now he's at minus one. Courtesy of the BSB podcast.
Minus
read him
one.
And weep. So but, the guy says it's not even about motivation, it's about poor systems, and anyone who's ever played hockey should know that. Oh, okay, here we go. I love the guys who played, like, you know, men's league hockey can evaluate stuff. Not that I mean, I know I do it too, but I don't evaluate coaches.
I'm a guy that reads Corsi, and I know for a fact that Bobby Hag's doing worse than Andy McDonald Corsi-wise, but I don't know why he's still getting ice time.
They're talking
know?
About positioning and all that stuff or whatever, but and this one guy says, lacking the ability to objectively evaluate your approach and develop was the Achilles heel for Chip Kelly in the NFL. Same thing with Hack. It's not cutting it. And everyone's like, yeah, 2 points, yeah. I guess no one was really on board
well,
with that. Because look at him now.
So Bobby Hag is... statistically worse than Andy McDonald if you look at like the Corsi chat
who?
The
Robert Hague.
Him looks at like the charts and everything, but like Robert Hague is also playing heavy defensive minutes, so when people are doing like criticizing him for things like, well, he doesn't try to make a play with the puck, he just turns and dumps it, it's like because he's a rookie playing big defensive minutes
and
like
playing safe.
Yeah, and playing safe. Like he's not 100% comfortable with the puck yet. Sorry that he didn't just come into the NHL with no AHL experience like Provorov and just light the world on fire, you know?
Yeah.
Not every defensive prospect is going
to
be Ivan Provorov.
If everybody if everybody remembers, Robert Hague was supposed to be the call-up the year that Ghost hit it big, and it was only because Mark Streit got hurt.
Yeah.
If... What, Andy McDonald got hurt? Then Bobby Hag might have been in the lineup sooner. And then everybody would have hated him 3 years ago, and then the Flyers would have traded him.
Well,
that
would have
been it. We would never had that sound
but
clip.
Regardless, the Flyers are in a much better position now than they were, and Hextall definitely has a lot to do with that.
Well, don't tell the internet that.
Well, the players even said, like, we realized we weren't executing. We felt bad about ourselves.
They don't know anything.
And, I mean, everyone's like, oh, Hextall said they're a 10-game losing streak, but they got 5 points. Here's the thing, though.
I'm still angry at this comparison of saying that's like playing without LeSean and Deshaun. if anything, the fourth line is like the offensive line. It's like plug and play.
Usually
you have somebody that can just get the job done.
Yeah, you just need energy, guys. You don't need...
Oh,
you
know. When did the Red Wings score? Jesus.
Oh, yeah, I didn't do just, usual...
We have the game on the back range, so I was like, Jesus Christ!
Yeah, it was bad. Elliot should have had it.
Oh, okay. Well, trade him. Anyway, back to the... So, just real quick, about the Hextall saying, at least we got 5 points in those 10 games we lost. The Flyers are 23-16-8. Those 5 points right there is the difference between them and being way out of...
Well, I mean, what do you want him to say, too? It stinks. We should got no points because we played terrible.
What everybody said, the season's over.
Yeah.
And for the Devils, everyone's saying the Devils are so good. The Flyers have
been very bad.
Yeah, they've hit a rough patch.
I'm saying, yes. But the Flyers only have one less win from them, and I'm just saying, it's right there for the taking. Yeah. We are right in the spot to move up and actually take a division spot at this point. I mean, sure, the Rangers and Penguins and Islanders are all within 1 point of us down, and the Hurricanes are 4 points down. But if the Flyers can still continue to, they can win this game tonight, right? And they can still rack off a couple more wins this week because upcoming they seem to get through tonight. And then they need to get through this Thursday. They're playing Tampa Bay, who's also in the Eastern Conference, the top right now. So those are two tough games.
Isn't All-Star break this weekend?
Yes. So I'm just saying, if they find a way to win tonight and then go into Tampa Bay, if they need to get 3 points out of these games, that'll be huge to go in the All-Star break. So they have off until next Wednesday when they play the Capitals. And they'll have a big divisional game where they can set themselves up to actually, depending on how this shakes out, to be either right in neck and neck with the Capitals.
Yeah. It's also nice to see that some teams are catching up to them in overtime losses as well.
Yeah, well, the Devils have the same amount of overtime losses, so do the Bruins. And the Bruins have been destroying lately. The Bruins are 7-0-3.
Yeah, the Bruins are trending upward.
But so are the Flyers. The Flyers are 8-2-0, and also their home record has improved to 13-8-4, which they said we need them to have a better home record. We talked about this the last few weeks. And, hey, man, I know there's been times this year we were a little bit negative and like down about it, but I mean, where else would you want to be right now besides the top of the league? But with this team and not knowing and so many unknowns with rookies and new guys coming in to the lineup, I mean, I'm pretty happy with so far. And at least it looks like we might have at least interesting hockey, maybe up until the end of March, possibly even April. Depends on how the trade deadline shakes out and everything else.
That's if they can overcome this dilemma that's been created.
Oh, there's a dilemma. Wait a minute. Do we have to do something else before we do that?
We could. Yeah, we could.
Because I would love to. I love the cause and effect here.
All right. We're going to.
Because usually we wait till a little later time, but the time is ripe and the time is nigh. Stick a needle in your eye. It's time for.
Shibadoo bop bop. Tweet of the week. Yeah.
That's right, everybody. It's time for Tweet of the Week. The time to show you, the fan, you, the listener, you, the person on Twitter who harasses John Boric, spoiler alert, says something we find cool, interesting, funny, or maybe just says go Eagles win the Super Bowl. I don't know what it could be. But Jeff, what's this week's Tweet of the Week?
All right, so Boric tweeted on January 22nd, I'll have more on the Sanheim dilemma later today on our website. And one of the first replies, which is our Tweet of the Week, goes to Victor Alvin, who said, please don't.
I love it. It's simple. It gets to the point. It's such an easy thesis to understand. It gives people what they want. So thank you. That was this week's...
Week. Yeah.
Okay, now it's done. Good.
So the headline...
So is this actually the article that he was talking about?
Big old bold letters headline. Flyers have a Travis Sanheim dilemma.
Oh, boy. Better than a moral dilemma, right?
So I picked out some quotes. I want to read them to you guys, and I want to get your thoughts on them. So, Ron Hextall was quoted as saying, he comes out of the lineup and the team plays well. Like most teams, when things are going well, you really don't want to change too much. I don't like sitting him, and coaches don't like sitting him, and I'm sure he doesn't like sitting. Thoughts?
So, Sanheim's new nickname is Sitting Bull.
Young Bull.
I feel like those are things what we would say just as fans, not as a GM that went up training Vinny LeCavalier and Chris Pronger's contract, a.k.a. Genius.
Young players got to earn the trust of their teammates and coaches, and sometimes that's a process, Hextall continued saying. Things aren't going to be handed to you. Just because you're a first-round pick or a highly paid guy, you have to learn things. You don't come out of college and become a CEO. You have to pay your dues, and you have to earn what you're going to get.
No, you're given everything because it's the generation of instant gratification.
Now, Flyers fans are like, Brandon Manning is a trash bag full of baby poop that's lit on fire, but yet he plays over Travis Sanheim. But from what I've seen, regardless of who plays, I've been more angry at the mistakes Travis Sanheim makes than the mistakes Brandon Manning makes.
These are there, Joe the Rat Walker, crapping on Sanheim. Huh?
Well, in the Devils game, I was like, how'd that guy get so open? And then they showed a replay, and then Travis Sanheim dropped his stick, went to go pick it up, didn't get back into the play, lost the guy entirely. They scored. Flyers went to commercial, came back. Chris Therrien was like, oh, you see what happened there? Sanheim dropped a stick. That's going to happen to young defenseman. He really needs to pick up his game and get better, and just like trashed him, but like nicely trashed him. And I was just like, man, Flyers are just, sheesh, going in on him.
Thoughts?
I kind of agree on both sides, more to the fact that when something isn't broke, there's no need to fix it. So the Flyers are playing great overall, even with Brandon Manning, who I am not a big fan of. But for some reason, he's in the lineup, and they seem to keep winning games. So the only way Travis Sanheim would get in the lineup is if they just hit a skid all of a sudden.
And Manning, I don't think, is making these huge mistakes either. Yes, he's prone to them sometimes, but he's been pretty stable.
Sometimes
back there
he's out of position
for the majority of this season.
Sometimes he missed some plays, like he got beat.
My problem with him is just like he can just be so inconsistent, where it's like he'll make like a great play, and then just like
he'll score a game-winning goal, for instance.
And then just lose
but I
his
think he's
man.
More, I think he's more poised back there than
Sanheim.
Yeah,
and then the next game, he just, well, that comes with playing. But
like,
Bork,
at least with confidence with moving the puck. I mean, Manning doesn't let those mistakes really fluster him, though, because he's already made those before.
Bork, his whole career is a mistake. So Bork ends his article with, at this critical point of the NHL season, the bigger picture of winning outweighs the smaller picture of player development.
What?
Critical point in the season?
Critical point.
Hold on. Can you do me one huge favor? Read that again.
Are you going to play a sound?
No, I just want you to read it again.
At this critical point of the NHL season, the bigger picture of winning outweighs the smaller picture of player development.
Wow. John Bork, I have a news for you. Remember that from like the 90s of the internet?
My question is,
that was a dumb clip from like I remember.
The only question I have is, why did they wait so long to send Sanheim back to the Phantoms if they knew they weren't going to play him?
I don't know, Jeff.
That's my only question.
I think they were just waiting for something bad to happen. I think they're just waiting for Manheim to
Manheim. Cameron Manheim.
Manning to mess up.
Doyle's got man on the brain.
Yeah, so I don't know. At the beginning of the season, they were preaching they didn't want to leave rookies sitting in the press box, and then they kind of just left Sanheim sitting in the press box until this week when they were like, "Yeah, we'll just ruin Mark Alt's development as top defenseman for the Phantoms."
Who cares though? I don't understand. Like, I get it. Like, yes, there's a chance to make the playoffs this year. The Flyers are going to make sure they can do that as best they can. But I'd rather our defenseman be. I'd rather Sanheim get play time than, and also. Wait a minute. Why am I even entertaining this notion? Travis Sanheim has done nothing to make you believe he will be the difference maker.
He was drafted in the first round.
No, but he has nothing to do with that.
His name's Travis, and he looks like Sean Couturier. So he has He has the best parts of Travis Konecny and the best parts of Sean Couturier.
I thought I told you to shut up.
John Bork stinks. Don't defend him.
I'm so glad you got that.
Yeah, I had to figure out how to use it on you.
Alabama, man.
He drinks a bowl of chewed tobacco.
Oh, my God.
So, a little update, too. The Flyers go to the All-Star break this week after the Thursday night game with
Hi-oh.
The Lightning. The only Flyers representative will be Claude Giroux.
Although,
did Crosby drop out yet?
As of right now, Sidney Crosby is playing.
Although Bork tweeted...
this could change,
God.
Though.
Stop entertaining this person.
No. He was tweeting about the Devils. And
it's exhausting hearing John Bork's name and what he says.
He was tweeting about if whoever made it for the Devils, if they can't go, that like Voracek or Couturier should get invited. And the first reply was like, then the Devils wouldn't have anybody there representing them. You idiot.
Yeah, Taylor Hall is...
who else would you even... like put from the Devils though.
Nico probably. Does he really deserve it? No, but he was first overall pick, so
I don't know about that.
Well, who else would
send? The thing is too, like everyone's like, well, why aren't they making it? You have to understand that the All-Star teams are much smaller now.
Yeah.
Because they have to go
three on three.
Yeah, it's three on three, so you don't need as big of a team to play. So there used to be a lot more people going. Like listen, Bailey from the Islanders, Josh Bailey, and you know, you have Sidney Crosby, Giroux, Taylor Hall, Ovechkin, John Tavares, Noah Hanifin, Seth Jones, Chris Letang, Braden Holtby, Lundqvist. Minus, I'd say, Noah Hanifin there. I mean, not Noah Hanifin, I'm sorry. Minus Chris Letang there. All those people, I guess, are pretty legit.
Yeah, Chris Letang got in on name recognition.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's other defensemen.
I think Ghost probably should have gotten over Chris Letang. I mean, we already talked about that.
Yeah,
but...
of course.
So, yep, they wanted one from each, unless you're Tampa Bay, and then the whole lineup made it. Nobody else got in.
Tampa Bay, yeah, I mean, they have a pretty good team.
Would they get Stamkos, Hedman, Kucherov, Vasilevsky?
Yep, that's it. Right there.
All four of them.
All four of them, yeah.
That was all guessing on my part, too.
Well, I mean, not to say you're not right, but they're pretty easy guesses. Like, you know, who wins Super Bowl, God or Jesus? Oh, both would win. Just, you know. It's pretty. They have four great players.
Yeah.
And they're going to make it.
Kucherov. Twist. Last name, Ditka.
Guy gets a field goal.
Kucherov's literally been... Is he still on his ridiculous scoring pace, or did that slow down yet?
I think it might have slowed down a little bit.
But when we played them the other week, he was still like putting up big numbers. He's still top of the league in points. However, still in fourth in points for the league. Claude Giroux, tied with Johnny Hockey, Johnny Gaudreau.
Oh, nice.
Who was sported wearing Eagles gear, I believe.
Yes, of course, correct.
If you did know, Johnny Hockey was from South Jersey, along with Bobby Ryan and Mike Trout.
Mike Trout has been seen at all the games.
Yeah, every like person who's from Philly's been rocking Philly stuff. One of the guys from, I think it's Kyle Lowry from the NBA was wearing
Yeah,
Eagles
what team
hat.
Is he on? I saw a picture of that.
He is on the Toronto Raptors, I
believe. I think I saw a picture on us on Twitter.
Yeah.
Actually, a bunch of Flyers went after their Caps game. They got back in time. They actually went to the Eagles NFC Championship game.
Yeah, saw
which
that.
Was great. So like Neuwirth was there. Neuwirth and Raffle were saying how like that was awesome. We were standing the whole time. I saw a picture actually. Some
Giroux and Simmons were there.
Some fans took a picture of them. Dale Weiss was there. Coots. I think I saw McDonald was there as well as I say Dale Weiss already. And I think
Travis Sanheim was there.
I
got a text message that he was getting sent down in the middle of the game.
I'm pretty sure I
texted him his bus ticket and said, "Get moving."
I'm actually pretty sure Nolan Patrick was there. And
he was there.
He was the only one not drinking because he's like not even 21 yet. Like, sorry, buddy.
You're the Uber driver tonight, Nolan.
Yeah, that's just great to see them coming out. And that was awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome seeing like all the Philly teams supported. Like Ryan Howard was at the game.
Yeah, when he came back. He's a Philly dude. He's a Philadelphia guy for life. LeSean McCoy was rooting for him on TV, even though he took a shot at Chip Kelly, which is whatever.
But do the Eagles do that for other teams? Because I know they're real weird about their announcements and they try to steal the thunder from people.
Oh yeah, it's the Philly headline gate.
Yeah,
I've been on the front of this for years, Jeff.
Yeah, he's been all over that.
But like, I don't remember seeing like any Eagles players.
Well,
at Flyers
here's the
games.
Thing. Here, well,
LeGarrette Blount's been to
there.
A bunch of
Has
Sixers
Lane
games
Johnson
this year.
Lane Johnson and a bunch of the linemen, I remember, used to follow our old blog on Twitter.
I didn't know if they
That's
were.
Just because I'm just a great social
I think
media
LeGarrette Blount was at a Flyers game this year, too.
And Corey Graham from the Eagles was at the Flyers game on us.
Oh, there you go. Oh, look at that.
But I will say, though, also the Eagles
Eric Lindros was at the game, too.
Except for the Phillies, the Eagles seasons run during anyone's championship runs. And during the Phillies championship runs in 08 and 09, they did have something, I believe, at the game. I made a video. It was released online. It's just kind of thing to do now. And all these Philly teams are like young, and they have these new GM. Like GM of the year pick in Philadelphia now is going to be so hard between Howie Roseman.
Well, Howie Roseman actually did win GM of the year.
I'm saying for
the league.
I'm saying for like the Philly area.
Oh, I know, but
because Hextall has what he's done with his team and trades.
Doesn't know how to draft. Doesn't know how to assess NHL talent.
Yeah, he's going to get fired after the year's over.
And what's his name from the Sixers?
Oh, God. Brian Colangelo? Come on, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. Before that, I'm thinking. But
no,
I'm saying,
right.
All the
it was
Hinkie. Made, though.
And Colangelo.
Hinkie was all. They're all about him. And also, the Phillies have a huge pool of
Klentak.
Prospects coming up now or the next year or two. So I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of things to be happy about. It's good to
but
see.
But Howie Roseman did win. Like he won NFL Executive of the Year, right? GM of the Year. Yeah.
Everyone made fun of him.
That's huge.
I saw another Reddit post. Of course, when I was just drinking all weekend, like basking in Eagles' love and victory, and hopefully we're going to win. I saw someone post like a cross post from the NFL subreddit from earlier in the summer when they signed Nick Foles. Everyone's making fun of how you paid that much money for a bad quarterback and everything else, and now it's like, look what's that on their face now.
Well, like, and what the only
if
reason how he got pushed
he's
out
good
was
at one thing. It's he was always great at signing people and working their contracts. That was the one thing he was awesome at. He sucked at drafting. So then they finally bring Joe Douglas in, and they had like one of the best drafts that they've had in a while.
Yeah, he's doing well.
Didn't Howie get pushed out because of Chip?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because Chip, Howie fired Tom Gamble, who was Chip's guy.
Right.
Wasn't there a thing where apparently like Chip Kelly didn't show up till like the owner's Christmas party or something like that?
Yeah, and he got fired like a week later.
And I feel like after the Chip decimation of the team, people didn't expect the Eagles to be this good this fast.
Correct.
Of course, yeah. Because we got rid of LeSean McCoy and like DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Mann. We didn't get rid of them. They left, all of them. I mean, some of them.
We all hated Chip Kelly.
We cut LeSean
and traded LeSean.
Yeah, and then we didn't sign Macklin.
Macklin went to go be with Andy Reid, but how's it working out for you, buddy? Anyway, if I can just give you a rundown of my Sunday, because you know this is our show, and who cares? Two out of three of us are diehard Eagles fans. I kind of got annoyed because I went to the Eagles and the Flyers game on Saturday, and there was so many Eagles jerseys there, and I'm like, hey, like this is great, you know, to see it. And like, I think a lot of people wouldn't even mind the Flyers lost this weekend. They just want the Eagles to win tomorrow. And so one of our fans was like, you know, not everyone is a Eagles fan, Drew. But like, who gives a shit? like think about it. Like, who cares? Like, I mean, a lot of Flyers fans are Eagles fans, and vice versa. Yeah. Like, just because you don't like football or you picked a different team because you're scum of the earth and you're
basically
a Dallas
like,
fan.
If you're an Eagles fan, you're probably a Flyers fan. You might be a Phillies fan. You're probably not a Sixers fan.
Yeah, I mean,
I feel like nobody really likes the Sixers in other sports. You just like the Sixers.
I'm not a huge, huge Sixers or Union fan, or even Phillies fan for that matter. I like baseball more, like to play than to watch. But I will still support them and be happy.
Well, yeah, it's still your town.
And also, if the Sixers were in the Eastern Conference Finals and the Flyers were playing, this is never going to happen because they run the same season. If the Flyers were playing, like, you know, just a middle of the season game, I'd be like, you know what? If it made the Sixers go to the finals, I would do it. I'd like the Flyers win. That's all I was trying to say. That being said, holy crap, Sunday, I was anxious. Not like anxious, like nervous. I was just excited.
I didn't know how to feel.
Yeah, because, like, you follow this team and love them so much, and all of a sudden, like, it's almost like, I'll have to get to that in a second, but it's just almost like, I had a feeling they were going to win, but I was like, how am I going to, like, if they lose, like, it's almost like, when you win, I don't know what to do with my hands, or like, I don't do it myself.
Well, everybody,
hey, Ricky Bobby.
Everybody on ESPN or whatever spent all week pulling putt on Case Keenum or whatever.
Yeah,
dude. Every week, every analyst
they had the best offensive stats apparently.
Yeah,
without Carson Wentz, they had the best run defense, best pass defense. They had the best everything. There's one guy that said all the stuff goes to the Vikings, and we decimated them in every facet of the game except for not scoring the opening drive because they got the ball first.
Yeah, they didn't. The Vikings didn't just lose too; they got embarrassed.
38 unanswered points.
37, right?
38 unanswered points.
Yeah. So that whole day, I was so nervous. I did my laundry, folded my laundry, put it away. I got up early. I smoked some ribs for the smoker. I made wings. I made chili, dude. I kept myself so busy. I watched the Flyers. I cleaned some of the house. And I looked at my phone. I'm like, oh my God, it's only 3:00 and the Patriots game is just starting, and I will be good. I did not start drinking until the Flyers made it to overtime. I cracked open one beer because I need some more beer for my one mop I was using for the ribs. I just spray them every, like, you know, hour on the smoker. First of all, it's ribs. Dude, Pepsi doesn't make a goddamn rib, I tell you that. Ate those. Promise, I had company coming over, so I promised I'd save them some.
These were better than the ones that caught on fire.
That was like 3 years ago, and that was a bum smoker with the drip pan had a hole in it, so all the water got escaped. These ribs were just the shit, and it was awesome. And I was so happy to see the Eagles come out. Just like the fans came out on the TV, and I literally once it was done, man, I was shotgunning on beers by the fourth quarter. I found an old bottle of champagne in my fridge from last year that had never been opened. We were popping that, and I looked at everyone's like, we're going home. What happened? They just score.
Showed a replay in the Red Wings' first goal.
Oh, was it pretty bad?
Just think to when
Brandon Manning deflected it in the net.
Yeah, when Brandon Manning deflected the goal that ended the Flyers' season last year.
So, 10 minutes ago when we were saying Brandon Manning isn't playing that poorly.
Was it as bad as the Ben Eager goal on Michael Layton?
He literally was standing in front of Elliott with no one around him.
So anyway, your ribs came out fantastic.
Oh, yeah, they were great. And Doyle and us had a great time. But Doyle just flew in from Seattle. I was like, dude, I got to go. I'm like, dude, okay. I'm like, I wanted to be like, no, you should stay and drink because, you know, the Eagles are going to Super Bowl. But I also looked at his face and, like, he's jet lagged. Okay, let him go. So pretty much everyone's kind of slowly leaving my house. And I'm like, I can't go to bed. It's only, like, because it started at 6:40. It's like 10:30. I'm like, dude,
I can't just sit here by myself and drink and watch the Eagles post game all night and the sliding poles of people trying to climb the Crisco slid up light poles. I'd do something. So I forced myself to go to the bar, and I drank till 3 in the morning. Showed up to work, still drunk Monday, and my supervisor came in for an observation that day, which kind of pissed me off, because I'm like, do you know who I am? You know enough about me. You know what I was doing. Even if I wasn't even drinking last night, you know I was up late probably celebrating, at least happy, and
they
you're
probably
to me.
Just, they got all those complaints about you putting your fingers under the stall doors in the little boy's bathroom, and they were just trying to find a reason to let you go.
No. So, yeah, that was my day on Monday, and also I had to coach after school, so I didn't get home until 9:30 last night.
I hate you, kids.
I was running on 3 hours of sleep. I didn't even eat. I know what I ate yesterday for my main...
crackers. Butter. No. Stick of butter.
Between
Krispy Kreme.
Evacuating
Krispy.
My bowels of all the wings and ribs and Natty Light
Krispy
drink.
Kremes and butter.
No.
Skettys and butter.
All right, can you let me answer? My main food groups were...
Krispy Kreme.
Protein bar.
Philly Pretzel Factory.
Black coffee and Clif Bars. So just like, I couldn't even eat anything. I just needed like fiber and protein in my life. I packed my lunch and I'm like, I don't eat that chicken. I don't eat that yogurt. I don't eat that apple. I don't eat anything in there. I just want to eat Clif Bar, coffee, chew gum, chug water, repeat. I started getting hungover by third period. And finally,
Was it one of those hangovers where like all the food just kind of just like congealed in your mouth into like one big ball of food?
It wasn't that bad, but just. I didn't care though. I was so happy and just. I know this is the Flyers podcast, but that was one of the best days of my life.
No,
on Sunday.
This is the week,
and I'm looking forward to the fact that we have a great shot in my mind of winning the Super Bowl.
The
whole city's behind it, and I feel it this time. This is going to happen.
This is the happy week, and then next week is the get down to business. Start, you know, following through on all your superstitions to make sure they win again.
Oh, dude!
Two interesting stats about football, real quick.
It's happening.
teams that wear. Their was it home jerseys? Whatever isn't white.
Cowboys.
0-12, I think, in Super Bowls or something like that.
If they wear their home jerseys?
If they wear white. If they wear their color home jerseys or whatever.
Are the Eagles wearing?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Patriots are wearing white. But quarterbacks who have the best, I think it was QBR or passer rating, whichever. 0-52, I think, in
So how's it only 0-12 then for the home jerseys?
I don't know. It might be in like the last 12 Super Bowls or something.
Okay. I don't care. I don't buy into that. Nick Foles is the only quarterback of all time that has had in his first three playoff starts over 100 QB rating.
Well, the Patriots defense isn't that good, right?
No, they're not.
So it really just comes down to is can they
Tom Brady
slow
is
Tom
the goat.
Right, can the Eagles slow Tom Brady down enough?
And yes, because every time they've said and the Eagles are underdogs, which is perfect, it's where they want to be. We've played against the top defenses a few times this year. Everyone's like, oh, they're the number one or number two defense, and we've slaughtered them.
Although Tom Brady,
the Broncos, we put up 51 on with Nick Foles his first game back when he came as a relief because we were winning so big, and we took down the Vikings, gave him 38 on them. So
Tom Brady came back and slung in that Jacksonville game, though.
He did.
But the Jacksonville, hold on a second.
The Patriots keep playing this close style game where they like give up these, they spot a bunch of points and come back. The Eagles defense are going to let them do that. And
Jacksonville,
Nick Foles, run, like Garrett Blunt all over them.
Jacksonville started playing conservative in this before the first half was over.
Yeah, they had all three timeouts.
They had
left.
Three timeouts, a minute seconds. Left, and the ball, and they decide to kneel.
Like, ah, we have Blake Bortles. I don't want to mess anything up.
Yeah. That's the first time that whole season that somebody's done that with three timeouts left that they had.
Well, yeah, you don't want to break Bortles and mess it up because.
Oh, my God.
Well, it didn't matter.
You can't do that.
It doesn't matter,
though.
Dude. Chris Long, the other former Patriot team, besides like Garrett Blunt pounding the rock all game, you're going to have Chris Long like probably get like a strip sack and they won't call no tuck rule crap.
But here's another great stat when we're talking about Howie Roseman. All of the turnovers and touchdowns last game. None of them were on the roster last year.
It was all new guys, yeah.
Yep.
And even some of the guys that scored. Alshon scored, right?
Yeah. Alshon had two touchdowns.
Yeah.
Torrey Smith had a touchdown.
Yeah, after a horrible drop. When that drop happened, I was like, you got to be kidding me, dude.
Yeah.
But that was just one of the best days ever, and I didn't want it to end. I woke up like all day Monday, even though I wasn't having a bad day. I was like just enjoying the win, talking to my coworkers, like, oh, how great is it?
I just kept thinking, I wish it was still last night, because just the whole game was so much fun. You know, you ever have like one of those things where you're like, I wish I could go back to like that vacation, you know?
Yeah.
I was just like, I wish it was still Sunday night, and it was just never ending story over and over again. And I just kept
the never ending story.
I ran out of beer. I ran out of beer shortly after the game, and I had to go to the bar just to get more beer. So I drank beer there with some of the Eagles fans and took takeout beer home with me and only drank three listens of Sinatra. And I looked at
take-home beer.
The person I was with said, you have to.
They're just like backpack beers, except.
Yeah. Just takeout, you know? Yeah. So got a six-pack of Miller Lite.
Take-home beers become backpack beers when you're
instead
walking.
Instead of doing your homework at the bar, you're just taking it home with you.
Yeah. And it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and the person I was hanging out with says, you have to get up for work in like 4.5 hours. You need to go to bed. And I was like, no, I don't. And like opened another beer.
You're not
like,
my mom.
10 minutes later, I finished it. I said, yes, I do. And I went to bed listening to Pink Floyd and just zonked. And I woke up. It was like I took a nap. I was still drunk. If I had to do like on my mother's life, gun to her head, who was it? There was a group of 20 people. I'd look through. I had to pick only two. If I had like five chances to pick out who was in Wawa, I wouldn't be able to tell you who was in Wawa that morning. I have no idea.
Did you eat all the samples again?
No, there was no samples. This was in the morning, okay?
That was in the morning, too. It was like 4 o'clock or something.
No, this was like at like 7 in the morning.
No. Try our breakfast. You know, just don't mind if I do, whole tray.
Yeah.
In my pocket.
I wish I could have done something like that. Probably maybe like at least like throw up to get everything else out of me. Dude, I was hoping I didn't smell like it.
You probably did.
Nah, I did not.
Just be happy you didn't smell like Aurelio.
Oh, yeah, our buddy?
Yeah, he was blasted.
Yeah, well, he called me, remember?
Yeah.
He called me, and I wonder if he remembers that. I haven't asked him. I'm just so happy. Everyone's just so happy to be alive and just drink and just whatever. If you're not Eagles fans, sorry, but we're about to end the show anyway. So without further ado, before I even mention this, we gave a shout-out to Lauren Hart for being great on Twitter, as we do sometimes.
We did.
And Mike
being
Bond.
Being the number one ranked anthemist in the NHL.
And Mike Bond
gave her. Yeah, I'm surprised that they
little...
didn't get her to do the anthem at the Eagles game.
Yeah, they got that guy that they've had before, though, do it. But yeah, that would have been good. So they got...
Lauren Hart said, pound sand and only do it for the Flyers.
And Mike Bond appreciated it.
He did, because I sent him a video of her singing O Canada.
Mm.
And he was like, oh, I really like this. And then she tweeted him a little kissy smiley face. He tweeted back a smiley face.
And basically, Mike Bond's divorcing
now.
His wife now. So
bringing countries together.
Yep, so he's getting divorced. So Godspeed, Mike Bond. Lauren Hart's great. And, you know...
Call that diplomacy.
But speaking of Lauren
Hart, our podcast is international.
International. We
way
are
international.
We're at that point of the show where we give Lauren Hart waves to the, you know, the Flyers player or staff member or whoever deserves praise for their week of greatness or just lack of ineptitude, I guess, because some of these guys have been bumbling idiots some of the year. So without further ado, Lauren Hart waves of the week. Let's give it to Doyle coming back off his hot week in Seattle after all the great things he got to do out there. Doyle, what's your Lauren Hart wave of the week? Trying to give it to easy for you because you weren't here for a lot of the games.
Well, it is easy, but I'm just going to take who Jeff learned from this week and say Travis Konecny.
Travis Konecny with 4 points this week and a game winner.
Yeah, great overtime
goal. Setting up a bunch of goals as well. And that's the way it is, Walter Cronkite. No, I'm just kidding.
Shut up.
Sorry, I just want to get another Walter Cronkite reference in there. Jeff, you're Lauren Hart waves of the week.
Another, like there was one before.
One time we ended a show.
I did the Walter Cronkite thing a few weeks ago. And it's technically a Cold War reference because he was
the
best
actor
during the Cold War.
You're grasping at straws here.
Jeff.
Just make a real one, you slacker.
I'll grasp at straws to cover up Jeff's flaws. Go ahead, Jeff.
I'll give him to Neuwirth for the Toronto game with an honorable mention to John LeClair for never aging.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Michael Neuwirth. That was awesome.
Yeah, did you? Like, Neuwirth made a whole bunch of saves to keep him in that game, and there was some pretty ridiculous saves. So he gets waves for that. And then they trotted out John LeClair for the Lindros ceremony, and he looks exactly like he did when he played. Like, the man doesn't age.
And he's still one of the best American hockey players of all time. He'll be in the Hall of Fame, I think, at one point.
Hopefully. I mean, Lindros was gunning for him, but you figure he's one of the best Americans ever play the game. And,
I'm saying if he was Canadian, maybe not. But I think because
he won
American.
A Stanley Cup, so like
he's already in the American Hockey Hall of Fame.
He has a Stanley Cup. Doesn't have a gold medal, but yeah, what are we gonna do?
Gold medal, gold schmedal. That's what I say. That won't even be looked at as a huge stat anymore because they're not gonna let NHL players play for a while. And my Lauren Hart wave of the week, it goes to Dave Hextall for literally being crapped on by segments, the vocal minority of, shut up, we're not firing them. The vocal minority of Flyers fan idiots, and also just people like questioning his job. And I just really think what he's done with the team, or at least said earlier, the 21 games, 15-5-1, that has to be recognized as doing, he's doing something right. Yes, he's not perfect, but I really do enjoy the fact he's still our coach. And I think the Flyers could be, they're still a bubble team, but if they keep putting it together, they could be playoff bound. So, yeah.
Boo, you stink!
That directed at me?
Yeah.
Why?
Because
he picked Hextall, man.
Terrible
come on.
Pick.
Why is that a terrible pick?
Get on the hot take train, man.
I'm
guy
not doing
stinks.
Hot takes.
Chugga, 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 chugga. Hot take.
Guy stinks, fire him.
You guys want me to do hot takes, really? Is that what you want? You want a hot take?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing else to talk about.
It doesn't matter what you think!
Not doing it. I'm not giving it to the dark side. Okay? I'm good. I guess I'll turn
let
you.
Let the dark side flow through you.
No, not.
Let the hate flow through you.
Let the hot takes flow through you, Drew.
Never.
If you strike us down, we'll become more powerful than you could ever imagine.
I'll make sure it's with a goddamn sledgehammer. That way you don't move and you just twitch and
scream out. Sledgehammer.
It's going to be awful. All right. So anyway, quick announcement. For next week, we're going to be doing a little early again. However, we're going to have a representative from the Ed Snyder Hockey Foundation calling in. So come check that out.
Let's keep
like
track the next 2 weeks to see if the Flyers make any more roster moves.
Yeah.
if we have to record early. Yeah.
Well, luckily we got the Sanheim thing in early.
Yeah.
So we're recording early. But they're doing the a whole new organization within it, which is going to be Young Professionals Platform. And they're going to be having a bunch of events coming up. So we're going to be talking to her about that for a little bit, and she's going to come on. I believe we're talking to a woman named Jenny. I can't be sure.
Trying
but
to
it should be pretty
Jenny.
Fun.
Promote Flyers hockey to the community.
Yeah, you know, get some of you young whippersnappers up in there, you know. So Mike Bond and Leonard, sorry, you're too old.
Yeah, you guys are pretty much one foot in the grave. So
yeah,
just, not for you.
You're over 35. You can't do it. However, a lot of other people
so
can
wait,
do
now
it.
How does Drew qualify for that?
You know, I sweet talked to her.
Hey-o.
And she got her fake ID, so it's all fine.
Do you have a fake ID?
Yeah, to show I'm younger. That way, when I hang on girls at the bar, I don't think I'm actually their dad's age.
No, I swear, I'm 19.
I think I bought
that actually happened once.
Let's not talk about that. That's a summer series story for sure. Anyway, guys, thank you for listening. It's been episode 126 of the Broad Street Bully Podcast. That's one, Sean Couturier, plus a Michael Raffle, slash Simone Gagné, slash a Mike Sillinger,
slash his guitarist,
a Bernie Perrant.
There's only one number one.
And that's me and Bernie. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening. Go Flyers the rest of this week. Enjoy the All-Star game. Don't watch the Pro Bowl. Ban that crap.
John LeClair plus Tim Kerr.
All right, it's over, Jeff.
All right.
And,
or no, Mark Howe.
We'll see you guys next week. And Eagles go to the Super Bowl, baby. Woo! Hi.
This has been the Broad Street Bully Podcast with your hosts, Drew Papsky and Jeff DeAngelis.
Ed Doyle.
Available on iTunes, Stitcher, and BroadStreetBully.net. Follow the show on Twitter @ the BSB Podcast.